Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Empire Magazine have just released their nominations for their awards this year, of which you can be getting involved with. From Empire Magazine, Philip de Simelian is on the phone right now to talk us through the runners and riders. Phil, what's the big news, my man?
Well, the big one, really, the sort of the headliners, as you'd probably expect, is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Standard.
Which has picked up 9 nominations, including Best Actress for Felicity Jones and Best Film. And then sort of following hot on its heels, really, is Deadpool, which was a film that we had high hopes for, and it kind of exceeded them in terms of box office. It's already got a sequel in the works, and that has 5 nods, including one for Ryan Reynolds, richly deserved for his comic turn as the title character, in the Best Actor category. And then I think elsewhere, we're pleased to have seen our readers recognise a film that we loved, Hunt for the Wilder People, which has picked up nominations for Gillian Denison as Best Male Newcomer, Best Comedy, and also Arrival has been a big hit with our readers. Amy Adams has got a Best Actress nomination, and that's one for the Best Film category too.
When you said you had high hopes for Deadpool, obviously each person that works for your fantastic magazine will have their own particular favourite films and what have you. I'll be honest with you, Deadpool for me changed the genre of what you would class as a superhero film. I thought it was absolutely brilliant the way that it was all put together. But sometimes the traditional fan of that type of film can fight against it a little bit, can't they?
Sorry, say that one more time.
The traditional medium of superhero films has been broken a little bit by Deadpool, in my opinion, brilliantly, because I thought that film was absolutely superb. But they are hardcore fans, those ones that are into Marvel and DC types of comic-type films.
Yeah.
And therefore, did you expect them maybe to fight against it and not nominate Deadpool for any awards?
I was lucky enough to be at Comic-Con where Deadpool was kind of introduced to the audience, and it's fair to say that the reaction was verging on apocalyptic. People were absolutely in raptures about the idea of this movie happening, and Ryan Reynolds was promising that you were going to see the sort of the character that everyone hoped they would see. Mm. And I guess that, you know, you're right. It's something that we haven't seen before, something that's kind of sweary and violent and in your face as that from a superhero movie. So I guess there's an element where you're like, is it really going to kind of live up to those expectations? But it did, and then some. So we're really pleased to be able to acknowledge that one at the awards.
And the way it was shot as well, you know what I mean? The cutaways, the talking to camera, the talking directly to the audience. I just thought it was brilliant, and hopefully maybe, obviously you don't want people to copy, but you want people to maybe to follow suit and try elements of that and push the boundaries of film going forward in 2017.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that it is going to prove to the studio execs, especially, that, you know, you can take the handbrake off with a superhero movie and be rewarded with, you know, colossal box office. I think this one exceeded even the studio's wildest expectations. And I think it's possible that we're already starting to see the impact of that in other superhero movies. Logan is one that we caught last week, and you're seeing something a lot more violent and a lot more in your face than perhaps you might have seen from previous Logan screen incarnations. I'm fairly sure that it will sort of encourage people to take more risks, and that can only be a good thing. So we're excited to be able to kind of acknowledge that, and we're really excited that our readers have got behind it in the same way.
Where do you put the British film scene at this moment in time? Obviously, a lot of publicity, I suppose, went towards the second coming of Trainspotting, and we know what that did the first time around. Where are we at right now in the world?
I think we're in a pretty good place. I think, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. The films that are the sort of British-made films, British filmmakers, are achieving, you know, big things. Ken Loach has had a massive hit. It's Daniel Blake has been sort of a big talking point, as well as a successful cinematic release. And that the legacy of that movie is sort of continued. And then you see, you know, filmmakers like Andrea Arnold, who made American Honey, which is another film that we've recognised at the awards. And Ben Wheatley, really talented filmmakers, are making kind of risky, edgy works. And and finding success with them. And you're also seeing that the American studios are filming over here a lot as well, which obviously kind of stimulates and gets talent through the system. Warner Brothers is making the Fantastic Beasts franchise over in the UK, and we're seeing an awful lot of the big studios coming over and filming around London. So I think the British film industry is in good shape at the moment.
Now, you mentioned at the start of our conversation, obviously giving us that brief synopsis of who were the most nominated. No surprises, of course. Rogue One being right in there. What is your take on this new generation of Star Wars? And is it a case of it's the old fan being quite nostalgic, or are you seeing quite an uptake of new fans getting into the new stuff and maybe then going back and looking at some of the old things as well?
It's everyone, really, isn't it? I mean, my generation grew up with the franchise, and then there was a second sort of generation that came through the prequels. Whatever you think about the prequels, they obviously kept the Star Wars universe sort of front of mind, and then a younger generation came through it through Clone Wars, and I mean it's just something that kind of people pass on from parents to children. And
I was going to ask, is it one of those things where it is a family thing where dads getting their sons, hey, come and have a look at this. This is what I used to be into. And then because they're obviously the CGI and the effects that they can now put into these new films has gone to the next level, it brings it modern day, I suppose. And therefore, sometimes when you look at old films, younger people can go, oh, nah, that's a lot of rubbish. but you look at it now and it's like, wow, this is amazing.
That's probably not unfair, but I mean, one of the things that we get asked a lot on the Empire podcast is the question is, what order should I show my kids the Star Wars stuff? there is a correct answer in my opinion, which is just miss out the prequels. But I mean, it's something that people.
So do you go straight back to the beginning? You go right back to the beginning. So, right, this is where it all started, bang, and then you miss out the middle bit, and then you come straight to now.
Possibly, me personally. But these ones are obviously they're kind of straddling the franchise in a way, in that you've got Rogue One, which is up for these, the big nominee at the awards this year, is taking it to between the prequels and A New Hope, and then you've obviously got the Star Wars sequels that are continuing on from 30 years after Return of the Jedi. So it's there's an awful lot going on, and I think it's a colossal property. I don't think there's anything really bigger. The Marvel verse is obviously huge, but Star Wars just captures the attention of just about everyone, even people that are not necessarily big moviegoers.
Is sci-fi fantasy probably the genre that captures the imagination the most compared to, I don't know, say horror or something like that?
I think it probably in our world, it, certainly, just because you have these big, properties that have been around for 30, 40 years, like Star Wars. We're seeing the Aliens franchise kind of being reinvigorated at the moment with Ridley Scott making Alien Covenant. So, I think certainly that those are ones that, through the lifespan of Empire magazine, have been probably, captured the imagination more than anything else, I would say,
Now, obviously, the award ceremony is taking place on the 19th of March. You're not anticipating any big surprises, are you? Like Rogue One, not even though it got 9 nominations, not receiving any awards.
Look, I don't know.
It's down to your readers. It's down to your readers.
For our readers to decide. I would be surprised if it didn't win anything. Put it that way, but you never know. We need the readers to go online and pick their favourites. Really, so it's in their hands. I wouldn't want to sort of prejudge what's going to happen on the night.
Get on the Empire magazine website and therefore vote for this year's awards. Like I said, it's happening on Sunday, March 19th. Listen, that's obviously about the previous 12 months. What are your big tips for the next 12 months? Is there something in the pipeline that we don't necessarily know about that you're dead excited about?
I think in the short term, the big releases that we're excited about, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 probably won't be a big surprise to people.
Yeah,
very excited about that one. And as I mentioned before, Alien Covenant is one that I just think...
Again, another trip down nostalgia, isn't it? It's that nostalgia aspect and connection with the film that people will just absolutely love.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there was disappointment around Prometheus. I think it maybe got tangled up in the mythology a little bit too much, and this one's promising to sort of strip all that back and just provide a proper alien experience. You know, gore, shocks, scares, all the stuff that we loved about the original movie is going to be on display. And I think in terms of under the radar stuff, we've had the Sundance and Berlin Film Festivals in the last few weeks stroke month or two, and a film that's come out of that which is exciting people is called Call Me By Your Name. It's a gay romance starring Armie Hammer, which people are already tipping for Oscars and awards nomination sort of this wow. time next year. So in terms of, I mean, it's a long way under the radar. It hasn't even really come onto the radar yet. It's just one to look out for, though, down the line.
That's why you're here, Phil, mate, giving us the inside. Giving us the inside scoop, my friend.
Doing my best.
Good man. Listen, have a wonderful day, mate. Thank you very much, and all the best with the awards. Make sure you got your best tuxedo on, all right, pal?
I will. Thank you very much.
Good man. See you all later, right. mate. Bye-bye.
Steve Hothersall's kick-off. This is Radio City Talk.